All right, good evening. Welcome to the 13 Pillars, Part 7, the Prophecy of Moshe, Nevuas Moshe, the 7th Yesod of the Rambam, sponsored again by Becky Navi Katz, Le'ili Nishmas Yonah ben Rav Aryeh Leib, as well as my grandmother's yahrzeit today, so we'll learn Le'ili Nishmas Leib Bas Ephraim HaKohen. You recall, how could you possibly forget, the sixth Yesod, the sixth pillar, was Nevuah, prophecy, which is fundamental to Yadus from at least two different perspectives. We outlined a number of them last time. One, of course, is prophecy underlies Maimed Har Sinai, as well as Schar Va'onesh, the revelation at Sinai and the notion of reward and punishment. Both are dependent upon it. The notion that God conveys his will to man through a certain mechanism called prophecy is indispensable to both concepts, because Schar Va'onesh, the idea of reward and punishment, means that God is involved, that he's a ruler, and that he'll intervene in human affairs in order to see to it that his will is carried out, both to reward the righteous and to punish the less than righteous. And Maimed Har Sinai, the revelation at Sinai, also builds on that. If God is going to communicate his will through man, through prophecy, then his will has to be known at least to one segment of mankind, who can then transmit it to others, that being Klal Yisroel. So thus, Nevuah, prophecy, then the prophets are individuals of great stature and moral perfection and high intelligence, so that their intellect, as we discussed, becomes joined with the Seichel HaPoel, the active intellect above, and the ideas are thereby conveyed, with each Navi receiving his prophecy in his own signon, as the Gemara says, his own style, based on the unique personality of the individual Navi. So the Gemara says that Ein Shnei Navi Mishtamshim B'Signon Echad. No two prophets had the same style, in the sense that the imaginative faculty of man also differs from person to person. So the idea is the same idea. Let's assume the idea is the same idea. Nonetheless, each prophet will perceive it differently. That's Nevuah. This Yesod is different because Moshe is different. The prophecy of Moshe stands out, is exceptional, and is unlike the prophecies of the other Nevi'im, and this is the 70th Yesod, which triggers the basic question, why is this a Yesod? So let's assume for a moment that Moshe's prophecy was quantitatively different from other prophets. Okay, he's a greater Navi than they were. But once you have the institution of prophecy, there will be, presumably, one Navi whose prophecy is greater than the others. Why is that its own principle, its own pillar? Why is that? Why does it matter that Moshe Rabbeinu is different than the others? So that's what we have to understand. What exactly is the Yesod? Even if we would say that Moshe Rabbeinu is qualitatively different, that his Nevuah partakes of characteristics, as we'll see, that the other Nevi'im did not have, so you make the same argument. Granted, his Nevuah is on a different level, but and it, maybe even his mechanism of Nevuah is on a different level. But even so, it's still prophecy. So once the basic idea of prophecy is conveyed to us, why is there a special limud, a special teaching, a special affirmation of faith for Jews that Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is unique? And that is the subject of this lecture tonight. That question, of course, we'll get back to later once we understand what the particulars are, but it's important to remember. Obviously, there are other lessons that are derived from the existence of this pillar of Moshe's prophecy than simply of prophecy itself. Well, this point we know from the Torah. The Torah says at the very end, describing Moshe, eulogizing Moshe, in fact, at the end of his life, number one, there did not arise in Israel a prophet like Moshe, whom God knew face to face. Rashi says in 3, Shehoya libo gasbo, umadaber elov b'chol eis sherotzeh. Implications of the pronoun he refers to Moshe, that Moshe was so comfortable with God, and I guess we could say vice versa, but Moshe was so comfortable with God, libo gasbo, that midaber elov b'chol eis sherotzeh. Moshe was unique in that he could talk to God at will. No other human being ever had that ability, that capacity. And so too, God would approach Moshe as well without any forewarning. He would just come to Moshe. The Ramban says, the Ramban differs with this pshat, and he says, Einenu nachon, avahu milashon ve'edacho b'shem. There's a certain intimacy that God had with Moshe, that Moshe knew ideas about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that others could not know and did not know. Yom HaShalom Kom Novi Ol B'Yisrael Kimoshe Asher Gidolo Hashem Lios Leilov Panim El Panim B'Dibur. No Novi achieved that majestic level wherein he had a relationship with God that was face to face, Kiviyochol, as friends, in the language that the Chazal use. Valderech ha'emes sheyedo Hashem panim el panim l'dov kabo be'esha tovo haruach b'moshe Rabbeinu. Panim el panim means intimacy. In other words, and the Rambam will say this as well, that God appeared to him as a trusted friend, as a confidant, that there are people who don't even knock on the door of your home. They will just walk in. Not many people, usually families like that, hopefully, the odd mashulach here and there. But of course, one's most trusted confidant has access to one's inner sanctum. V'chol the dov kabot, the cleave, whenever the Spirit overcame him. V'chein hoyo be'es matan Torah. Avolo isigo heim. So it was during matan Torah, but no one else did, no other person present, except for Moshe. V'hinei ba'er shekol nevuasov shel Moshe kiyom matan Torah. What this is telling us is that the overwhelming sense of God's presence that other Jews had only at Sinai, Moshe had with every single nevuah. God spoke to Moshe, and Moshe has a clear perspective. Just turn the page for a moment, and we'll see how the Torah describes the uniqueness of this relationship. It's a good time to talk about Moshe because we read Parsha Shmos this week. We're introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu. But later in the Torah, the Parsha Balos, actually the sin of Miriam, when Miriam questioned Moshe's uniqueness, so God lays out, God delineates exactly what Moshe's uniqueness was. Vayomer Shimon Advarim Yinu V'yachem Hashem B'mareh Elov Esvado B'chalom Adabra Bo. If you have prophets, then God appears to them b'mareh, in a vision, in a dream, meaning something which is not as tangible as one person speaking to another. That conversation, that communication uses imagery rather than directness. Lo chein avdi Moshe, not so my servant Moshe. V'chol beisi nemonhu. Moshe is faithful, meaning he's welcome in my entire home. Moshe is a ben bayis by Kadosh Baruch Hu. In three different ways, three qualities. First, pe'el pa'a daber bo. God speaks to Moshe mouth to mouth. In other words, we'll see what it means, but Moshe is speaking not in a trance, not in a weakened state, not with any diminished physical capacity, but pe'el pa'a, as people speak to each other. Umarev alobichi does, and the vision Moshe has of God's message is clear, without any riddles, without any puzzles. Utunas Hashem yabit, and he gazes upon an image of God, so to speak, meaning there's nothing hidden. Moshe attains the highest level that human beings can attain. So therefore, God puts the question to Aaron and to Miriam, umadu lo yireisem l'daber b'avdiv Moshe. Why then did you deign to speak against my servant Moshe? Clearly, Aaron and Miriam did not recognize Moshe's uniqueness. Now, what is uvmarev alobichidos? So the Gemara explains in Yavamos Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, famous statement of Chazal, number 13. Kol ha-nevi'in nistaklu baspaklaria she'eino me'ira. Moshe Rabbeinu nistakel baspaklaria ha-me'ira. All the prophets looked or saw or comprehended with a spaklaria means a window. A window that was translucent, that was not completely clear. In other words, you look through glass and the glass is somewhat clouded. So you can make out what's inside on the other side of the glass, but you're missing something. Maybe the gist you get, but you can't see all the details. Moshe Rabbeinu nistakel baspaklaria ha-me'ira. Moshe, though, you can pick up a sheet over here. Moshe Rabbeinu, though, gazed through aspaklaria ha-me'ira, transparent glass. It's a clear, unimpeded perspective that no other Navi had. Now, what exactly does this mean? So let's turn back and we'll see how the Rambam described this Yisod HaShvi'i, the seventh pillar. Seventh pillar, number four, Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom V'ushenamen Ki Aviyem Shalkol HaNaviyem Asher Hoyim Milafanov. We affirm, it's in fact mandatory to affirm, that Moshe is the father of all prophets. And in fact, he's the greatest of all prophets, of those who came before and came after him. Kulam heim tachtov b'malo. All of them are beneath him in stature. Now, why that's important, we'll see. V'hu haya nivchar mikol min adam asher yisig miyidi aso yisbarach yoseh mikol mashe yisig. And he is the choicest of the species of man that ever existed. He's the greatest of all men. O yasig shum adam shenimsa o sheyimotze. Nobody can be greater than Moshe. No one was, no one is, no one will be. V'chihu alav ha-shalom higia his aluso min anoshus. Moshe Rabbeinu, peace be upon him, achieved the heights of the human species in that he reached the level of angels, of malachim, and is included in their class. Strange coincidence, but this morning we discussed the eighth parak of Tehillim, which we'll get back to here, but if you have a pasuk, v'tichasrehu me'at me'elohim, that man is somewhat lower than the angels, and the Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah, that's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rambam says that he sigmai lo ha-malachus is, the Gemara says, based on the pasuk, v'tichasrehu me'at me'elohim, he's just a little shy of angels, a little less than angels. What that means we'll also return to. But lo nishar masach shelo kro'o, there did not remain any curtain, so to speak, any veil that was not torn, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu was not kept away from any particular knowledge. V'nichnas mimenu, he could enter anywhere. V'lo min ha'omo ne'agufani, there was no physical hindrance. V'lo nishari v'lo shum chasron ben rav v'lo ma'at. And he had no deficiency in any affair, great or small. And Moshe Rabbeinu lost, you know, these senses, his imaginative senses, his physical senses, were nullified. To the extent that his physical prowess was completely diminished to the point it was non-existent during the time that he received his prophecy, and he remained just sechel bilvad, pure intellect. What the Rambam is referring to here is what we know from what the Torah tells us. Moshe Rabbeinu spent 40 days on the mountain. Lechem lo achalti, mayim lo shasisi. Moshe did not eat, did not drink. It was there that he reached the level of a malach, and that type of unobstructed access to the Chochmas Hashem is of course unique to Moshe. It's what gave us the Torah, and it's what the Rambam is referring to here. He became a different type of human being almost. Literally, and as we know, Moshe came down and v'nei karan or panov, already his face shone because he was a different type of human being. And about this it says that Moshe communicated with God without the intermediaries of angels. So Rambam laments, he says that now his intention was to explain this wondrous area and open up closed psukim in the Torah, explain what it means, pel peh, mouth to mouth God spoke, except for the fact that he sees that this would take a book in itself. And you recall where the Rambam is writing this is the Perish HaMishnayis to Perik Chelik in Sanhedrin, so it's a more limited work. So therefore he says that he could go on and on. It wouldn't be enough. Even if he was extremely concise, it would still be Me'od Dapim. It would still be 100 pages, and that much time we don't have tonight. Ram says he will wait, and he'll later in life write about this area in the Sefer Perish HaDoroshos Shriyati L'Chabro, whether it's in the book that will clarify Midrashim, the Rambam writes here, as well as elsewhere in this introduction to Chelek, that he had in mind to write a commentary on the Midrashim. Because right before he goes into the Yesodos, the Rambam speaks about the three approaches people have to Midrashim. And he says the approach of the Chacham is to understand the Midrashim not as literal, but as conveying ideas. So the Rambam wanted to extract the ideas from beautiful graphic images of the Midrash. Alas, he never got to write that book. His son says he didn't write it. Some want to say part of it was contained in the Mor Nevuchim, which is true. But nonetheless, this book, this Perish HaDroshos, the Rambam himself never got to write. And of course we're the poorer for it, or writing the Sefer HaNevuah Shanim Esasekbo, which probably is a reference to the Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, or the Sefer Shachaber Osa B'Perish Eilah Yisodos, which in large part he didn't do. In any event, that's how the Rambam introduces this area, but it's important for us to understand exactly the nature of the difference. And here in number 6, 6 through 10 actually, the Rambam will describe the four differences between Nevuas Moshe and the Nevuah of other prophets, and from there we'll be able to extract what's unique and what's fundamental about this. 6. V'echazor l'chavon hazah yesod ha'shvi v'omer sh'nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom yivdulo minevuas kol ha'nevi'im b'arba dvarim. The four differences. And now he returns. First, Harishon, ki eze novi shehoyo lo dibur b'Hashem Yisbarach ela oidei emtzai. Any other prophet, God always communicated with them through an intermediary. Moshe below emtzai. Moshe did not have an intermediary. Think even of Avram, of Yitzchak, of Yaakov. There are always malachim, always angels involved in the communications. This we see clearly, the angels in Vayera that visited Avram to tell him, give him three messages, and the angels that visited Yaakov, even in Sedra in Vayigash. Yaakov was down to Egypt, an angel came and said, Al Tirav the Yaakov, etc. So you find that everyone else, but not just the Avos, all the other Nevi'im, there was always some intermediary. Moshe below Emtzoi. Moshe was no intermediary. It was direct communication. Kimoshe Nemar, Peh El Peh Adaber Bo. Now, it doesn't sound that fantastic to us, because we're used to speaking to people. But once you accept the fact, and once we understand, once we comprehend, which is almost incomprehensible, that we don't really have any clear idea of what it means that God communicated to us. Even those who stood at Sinai and heard the call Hashem Se'anochi and Lo Yelocha, so that was an experience that even they could not put into words and with which they began to tremble. So we don't know what that means. Oh, we could have some hasaga of being frightened, of trembling, of receiving a communication from on high, but then to take it to another level of pe'el peh, to converse as casual friends would, so that already is beyond us. All the other prophets, the prophecies came to them while they were sleeping. Remember, the Bris Ben Absarim, there was a Tardema Gedola. Yaakov's visions were also at night. Kamosha Amar bin Kamos, Kichalom Halailo, Bachalom Chazion Lailo, the Rabbi Me'inyan Zeh. The prophecy is always referred to as Chalom, as Mar'eh. Obayom, where they occurred by day, as in Avram's case, Achashatipol Tardemal Adam. After man fell into a deep sleep that nullified all his senses, V'tisha Machashavto Penuya, so only his mind remained open to these ideas like a dream. Well, of Nema B'maras Elokim, Moshe is different. Moshe Yavoy Lavadibur Bayom, Moshe God communicate to him in the prime of day. V'hu Amei Menshna Kruvim, he stood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim between the two Kruvim, K'moshe Yehudo Hashem Yisbarach, that God had set aside just for this purpose, as the Pasuk says in Parshas Truma, V'no Anti L'chashom V'dibarti T'chom El HaKaporis, God told Moshe, I'll set this up as a meeting place for the two of us, and I will speak to you from above the Kaporis on top of the Aron HaKodesh. V'amar, it's a Pasuk we quoted earlier, Im Yenviachem Hashem Bamaray Lavasvadaba Khalomadabarbo Lochen Adi Moshe Pel Padabarbo. That's the second. Third, Genovikishatavolov Hanavuo, other prophets, when prophecy came upon them, and even though it was a Mara, a vision, and even though it was through the auspices of an angel, a Maloch, still Yechlishu Kochosov Viskalkel Binyano, nonetheless their powers, their physical powers diminished, they weakened, their stature began to crumble, v'yagia lo moro gadol me'od, and a great terror, fear, overcame them, kimat she'tetze rucho mimenu, it was almost to the point that their spirit would leave them. In other words, they would cease to be human beings, but collapse, as we read in Sefer Daniel, when God came to Daniel, the angel came to Daniel, Gabriel in B'mareh, so Daniel said, V'lo nishar bikoach, I had no strength left in me. V'hodi nepacholai l'mashchis, and my robustness was transformed into a pallid state. V'lo atzarti koach, I had no strength remaining in me, meaning to receive the divine communication straight into the mind, their physical capacities were almost obliterated. Further in Daniel, V'ani ha'yisi nirdam al panai ufanai artsa, and I was sleeping on my face was to the ground, almost in a position a person tries to prevent loss of consciousness. V'omer, b'mare nefchut sirai olai, in the vision my joints were all turned upside down, meaning he could not retain control over his physical faculties. That's Daniel, but it refers to all the Nevi'im. U'moshel avashalom lo hayachay. Moshe is different. Avol yovo elov hadibur. God's speech, communication came upon him. V'lo yasigehu reses u'rado b'shum panim. No trembling, no fear came over him at all. It's panim el panim. Ka'asher yidaber ish el reyehu. Face to face, like a person speaks to his friend, Klomar. Kemosha lo ye'eral adam charadam yidibur chavero. Just like a person will not tremble when his friend starts to talk to him. Kein hoya Moshe ala shalom. So too with Moshe, lo hoya chorim en adibur. He didn't tremble at all from the communication. V'afal pishu hoya panim ifanim. Even though it was face to face, direct communication, v'zeh lechozek dveikuso baseichel, and this because of the intensity of the cleaving to the intellect that was represented in this. And finally, number 10, if you turn the page, the fourth quality, v'inyan harvi Ki kol hanaviim lo sanuach aleihem ruach hanavuah birtzonom ela birtzon Hashem yisbarach. No novi could seek out the spirit of prophecy on their own, of their own will. It had to be God's will. You remember we discussed last time about the b'nei hanaviim, those who were preparing themselves for nevuah, but of course many prepared and were not successful. That's really God's will. Man does not have the capacity to seek out a divine communication. It could be a particular prophet received a nevuah and then waited days or years for another message. Even Yaakov, as we remember from the last few weeks, when Yosef was gone, so he did not have nevuah for 22 years when he was in a state of depression. No nevuah. So a person can try to become a Navi and not succeed. A Navi can receive a particular Navur and strive to hear another and also not succeed. Could be months. Oh, shalo yodiyu b'shum ponim. Well, perhaps never. And so here speaks about the B'nai Anavim that Elisha had. Elisha himself, when he wanted to receive a Nevuah, he would try to work himself into a state, bringing a musician in. Recall David had the harp to try to effect the state of Ruach HaKodesh. But it's not imperative that it happen. Just what they needed to work themselves into the intellectual state where Nevuah was possible. So it required preparation, and even with that preparation, it still might not happen. But Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav HaShalom, Moshe, the greatest of all men, B'chol Eish Yirtze Omer. Whenever he wanted to speak to God, he would just say, like the Torah says in this case, this is with the Pesach Sheni episode, Imdu Veshmo Mayitzav Hashem Lachem. He said, hold on a second, let me check with the boss. And Moshe Rabbeinu was instantaneously able to achieve a prophetic state, and God responded. V'nemar daber al Aaron achicho v'al yavo b'chole sel ha-kodesh. He says, say to Aaron, he should not enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim at all times. It's only Yom HaKippurim. Amr Chazal, Aaron b'val yavo, v'ein Moshe b'val yavo. Aaron can't come at all times. Moshe Rabbeinu, though, he's able to come and any time he wants. So you have these four qualities. There's no intermediary, as there was by other Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu is awake. All others are in a dreamlike state. In the dreamlike state, the imaginative faculty is most acute. Moshe Rabbeinu did not need an imaginative faculty when he was prophesying, receiving God's communications. It was pure intellect. There were no physical effects, no weakening of Moshe Rabbeinu during his prophecies, unlike the other Nevi'im. And finally, Moshe could seek God out at any time, and God would respond. Others had to pray for it or be called, and even then, it might not happen. So just by way of summary, the Rambam goes into this area in Hilchos Yisrael HaTorah Perek Zayin, and here's Halacha Vav. So we'll just skim it quickly. Kol advarim shamarnu em derech nevuah l'chol hanaviim rishonim acharonim chutz Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabban, the master, the teacher of all the prophets, shakol hanaviim. Uma hefresh yesh ben nevuas Moshe l'shar kol hanaviim. What's the difference between Moshe's prophecy and the other? Shakol hanaviim b'chalom u'mareh. Moshe ben misnabei hu er v'omeg. Moshe prophesizes, he's awake, he's standing. All others are lying down. It's in a dream. Moshe Rabbeinu lo ayde malach, it's pel pad daber bo. Moshe Rabbeinu ein sham moshol el roa hadover al burio. There's no parable, there are no images. We all learn, even hear the haftaras of Yecheskel, of Yeshayo, of Yirmiyo. They're filled with images of things that they saw. The Maisim Rekova, Makel Shaked Anirawez, Zachariah and his visions, they're all seeing things. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest of all prophets, but yet he doesn't relate to us in the Torah even one metaphor, even one image of something that he saw, because it was pure ideas in the form in which they were attended. Kol HaNeviim Yireim V'Nevhalim Mismogim Moshe Rabbeinu Einokein. Everyone else is petrified, is shaking. Moshe Rabbeinu, not. Finally, Moshe Rabbeinu, Noah the prophet can prophesy whenever they want. Moshe Rabbeinu, Enokein, El Kozman Sheyachpots, Ruch HaKodesh, Lovashto, Unavua, Shora Olov. Moshe Rabbeinu, anytime he desires, the Ruch HaKodesh garbs him, and Nevuah overtakes him, and he's able to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, we have to understand why this is the Yesod, of course. What was Moshe's uniqueness? And I think we'll do it by looking at a fascinating sifrei that seems to undercut much of what was just said. One of the strangest Dibri Chazal that you'll find, at least on the surface, number 14. It's the end of the Torah. V'lokom Navi Obi Yisrael Kimoshe. There is no other prophet that arose in Israel like Moshe. So the Medrash darshins, yeah, be Israel not. Avol b'Bavliim, come. The Babylonians had such a prophet. V'eza, Zebilam ben Ba'or. Bilam, that Rasha Marusha. The Medrash says he's a Navi like Moshe. How's that possible? So now the Medrash says, yeah, there is a difference. Eliyesh Hefresh bin Nevuasosho Moshe Lenevuasosho Bilam. Moshe lo, there's a difference between the prophecies of the two. Moshe lo hoya yodeh mimedaberimo, Bilam hoya yodeh mimedaberimo. Moshe did not know who was speaking to him. I mean, he was natural. Bilam knew. Noam shomei imrekel. Moshe did not know Amos Medaber Imo when it would happen. Happen any time. Bilam felt it coming on. Yodea das Elyon. Moshe lo hayu medaber imo achu omeid. Moshe stood. Bilam not. He was no fail. Machze shakai yecheze no fail uglui einoyim. So there was a difference. Moshe la dover doma the medrashens l'tabachos shel melech, like the king's butcher. The king's butcher knows a lot about the king that maybe the king's ministers don't. Yodea kama hotzos yotzos l'melech al shulchano. So he knows what the king spends on food, he knows what cut of meat the king likes, etc. So that was Bilam's knowledge, not Moshe's knowledge. But what in the world does this mean that the nations of the world had a prophet like Moshe, to wit, Bilam? So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik explains this in a way which clarifies it immensely. Look at number 15. So he quotes the Sifrei. And then he says the third line, it's strange. We need to understand. How's it possible even to entertain the thought that Bilam, who is both promiscuous as well as extremely violent, would be on the level of Moshe? Ve'ech efshar lidamos Bein Nevuasosho Moshe Lenevuasosho Bilam. How can you compare at all between Moshe's Nevuah and Bilam's Nevuah? And then he says the Medrash contradicts itself, because first it says that Bilam was like Moshe, and then it says Yesh Hefresh, there's a difference. So now the Rambam explains, quotes the Rambam Perek Tes of Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, Dover bar mefurish k'tar shin mitzvah medes olam ulome olamim ein lo lo shinu legeron lo tosefes. Something is eternal about the Torah. We'll see that the next few weeks. Nothing changes. The Torah is what it is when it was given to us. So now we see no Novi has the right to innovate anything, really to add anything to the Torah. So therefore the Rambam continues, if a Novi would arise and say, Shashem Shelacho, God sent him, Lahosif mitzvah, oh, to grow a mitzvah, to add a mitzvah to the Torah, to take away a mitzvah from the Torah, Harei Zinovi Sheker, he is categorically a false prophet, Shaharei Bo Lahakvish Nivososho Moshe, because he comes to deny Moshe's prophecy. Well, now we can understand at least one question. Why was it necessary to have someone whose prophecy, whose level of prophecy was sui generis, was qualitatively different than all other prophets, because Moshe was the Nosei HaTorah. And if there'd be any other Navi who would be on Moshe's level, he can come and say that he received a prophecy just like Moshe did. And therefore, now we can change the Torah, add this, subtract that, etc. But once we posit that Moshe's Nevuah is qualitatively different than all other prophets, then no Novi has the right to add anything to the Torah as well, and if one tries, then he's a Navi Sheker, Sherei Bola Hakchish Nevuah Social Moshe, because he comes to renounce Moshe's Nevuah. So now we'll understand this Medrash as well. The Dover, the question always comes up, you know, Bila, Moshe, it doesn't seem like an analogy that we would make. Hare Mevuah She Nevuah Social Moshe Torahi. What the Medrash is saying, Lokom Navi Ol Bisrael Ki Moshe, because no other Navi has the right to add to the Torah. So no other Navi can do that. But there was only one other Navi who did add something to the Torah. Who was that? Bilam. That's the answer. So Moshe's Nevuah, everything he said, all his prophecies are included in the Torah. The Kayemes La'olam, they exist forever. Ein lahosef ala o legroa mimena. We don't add to it, we don't subtract from it. We don't find this with any other prophet. So that's why the words of the prophet, the Nevi'im, are called Divrei Kabbalah, that which is received, and not Torah. Only Moshe has Torah. That's what we say, for example, is a hierarchy. You can't put a Nach on a Chumash, because a Chumash is on a higher level. Even though the prophecies of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are written in the Torah, nonetheless, they did not become Torah in their lifetime. They only became Torah when Moshe wrote them in the Torah. The only Nevuah which then is analogous to that is Bilam's. Avol Nevuah Social Bilam, Hoysa Torah Miyad Bishasa Mirasa, Olduf Nation Ichtuba B'Torah. Bilam's prophecies, they became Torah in a sense just like Moshe's, because they became part of the Torah as soon as he said them. That is to say, of course, it's the Ratzon Hashem that Bilam's Nevuah be incorporated in the Torah. But nonetheless, there's no other Navi who had that capacity, who was ever given that privilege. V'zeu Masha Darash B'Sifrei, that's what the Sifrei means. She Yis B'Yisrael Lo Kam Navi K'moshe She Nevuah So Tia Torah. That in Israel there was no Navi whose Nevuah was like Moshe, that it would become Torah. Avol b'Bavliim, come. Amongst the Babylonians, amongst the nations, Bilam seemed to be promoted, but that's a side point. In the nations of the world, you had such a prophet, Bilam, Shenevuaso Haisa Torah Miyad Be'es Amirasa. As soon as he prophesied, it became part of the Torah, and that is the comparison. Eina kavana lahashras dargas nevuas Bilam dargas nevuas Moshe. It's not that they, as prophets, are on the same level, chas v'chalila. And that's why the Sifrei ends, that in fact there was a hefresh between Moshe's nevuah and Bilam's. But in terms of that one particular, that their nevuahs became part of Torah, in that sense Moshe and Bilam were the same. Now, that leads us to a very important point. That's correct. But nonetheless, if you look at Parshas Bilam, and this is what the Chaim is referring to, it never mentions Moshe at all. It's like a Parsha that parachutes into the Torah, Parshas Balak, and Moshe is not even mentioned. At the end of the Sedge is mentioned when the whole episode of Power starts, but it's as if Klal Yisrael plays no role in that. So, what's that? No Jewish witnesses, correct? That's exactly the point. So how would Moshe know about it? Because God told him. So of course, Moshe wrote what God said, but you see, when Bilam said it, that became the Nevuah, and that's the comparison. So we see already that the uniqueness of Moshe's Nevuah is inherently related to Matan Torah. To the fact that Moshe was the conduit, Moshe was the vehicle through which the Torah was given to the Jewish people. One other point on this, look at number 16, the Netziv in Amek Dovar, V'lokom Navi'o B'Yisrael K'Moshe She'yedo Hashem Panim El Panim. He says there's a great difference between Nevuas Moshe and the Nevuah of the other prophets. Al Af Shekadosh Baruch Hu Medaber Manavi L'Tzarach Hador, even though God will speak to a prophet for the needs of the generation, Harei b'mikrim rabim ein anovi mukhshar mitzad atzmo l'mal azo. In many cases, a novi didn't have to be on the highest possible level. And it'd be like a king of flesh and blood who has to deal with the underlings. So too here you had Nevi'im. He mentions like Gideon, for example. You had people in Nevi'im because that's what the generation needed. And we speak about Nevi'im on different levels. It's relative to the generation. Not every generation would have Nevi'im on a very high level. So their Nevuah wasn't inherent. In fact, it was exherent. It was because God chose them for a specific purpose. Lo chein avdi Moshe. Moshe is different. His Nevuah was inherent. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was necessary, in fact, indispensable, and therefore he was given all these unique qualities. Now, one point emerges from this. Well, that's the first thing, that it's necessary for Kabbalah Satorah. You should look, think about that for a moment. Uniqueness of Moshe as the vehicle of Torah Hashem to human beings, to Klal Yisrael. So he's indispensable for Matan Torah. That's why in Parshas Yisro, when God is introducing the concept of Matan Torah to the people, and tells Moshe, with this they'll believe in me forever, v'gam b'choya aminu le'olam, and they will trust in you forever as well. So now we see why the Nevuas Moshe is its own yesod, because Matan Torah is dependent on Moshe Rabbeinu, and in fact that's why this yesod, the seventh, is actually a bridge. It's a bridge between the sixth, the yesod of Nevuah, and the eighth, the yesod of Torah min Hashamayim, that the Torah in all its details is divine. In Nevuah means God communicates to man. Torah min Hashamayim, that the Torah came to us from heaven in all its particulars. And how did it come to us? Through Nevuas Moshe, through the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, something else as well that's important, and I think this is a critical aspect of this Yesod too. It's important for us to realize, as many ancients didn't, and as many moderns don't, the great potential of human beings. That we should know that there was such a person, a Yelud Isha, born of woman, and yet he rose to such sublime heights, that itself is tremendous encouragement to us, and it defines what man can be. That's what makes the Yesod. It's not only the particulars of Nevuas Moshe, and in a general sense what Nevuas Moshe means, but in fact that a person like Moshe existed and walked among flesh and blood, just like us, and walked amongst our people. There's a greatness in that. The Gemara says, as I referenced earlier, in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, Chamishim Sharei Bina Nivru Ba'olam, the 50 gates of understanding created in the world, V'kula Nidlu L'Moshe Chaser Echad. All of them, 49 were given to Moshe, save for one. That was because he did have the barrier of the guf, so he could not have Yediyas Hashem Ala Mitaso. He did not have a pure, abstract knowledge of God. That's what Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hareini Nos Kodecha, and God said, No, Ki Lo Yirani Adam V'choy. An unimpeded vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only possible to a soul, not to a human being in flesh. Bikesh Koheles Lios Kemosha. Shlomo made the same request. Shlomo may have the greatest intellect of anyone, but he didn't have the prophetic capacity like Moshe, so he requested to be like Moshe. Yosta Baskol, a heavenly echo emerged and said, no, V'lokom Navi Od B'Yisrael Kemosha. There is no one like Moshe. That Moshe reached the 49th level and not the 50th, so that's the pasuk, V'tichasrehu Me'at Me'elohim V'chavod V'hadar T'atarehu. That he was slightly lower than the angels, and he was crowned with the glory and splendor. This pasuk follows David's poignant cry, the great mystery of life, Mo enosh kisif kerenu uven adam kisif kedenu. What is man that you are mindful of him? What is the son of man that you remember him? But the chaser me'at me'elohim. It's because there could be such a person as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the crown of creation in terms of his for man itself is a being of chochm and das and dibur. We are thinking, intelligent, communicative beings. And Moshe was the greatest. The fact that there is a being like Moshe who could speak to Hashem panim el panim, so that intellectual capability, that gift of speech, reaches its climax in the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. If we think about what that means, and we see why the Yesod is important, Moshe's prophecy is critical, not just as a reflection of the importance of his role in Matan Torah, but merely for his existence as a human being. So granted, we can't reach that level. We don't aspire even to be people who create or recreate the Torah, at least not most of us. But Moshe Rabbeinu, the fact that he existed and walked amongst us, shows the potential that human beings have for greatness. That he existed and that he was part of Klal Yisrael, that's why every day we study his Torah. And that's why he lives on in our lives and in our people. In the language of a famous Medrash that I've quoted a number of times in other forums, you see a human king of flesh and blood, the president, Congress, they can make laws. Human beings make laws, and people listen to them or they don't listen to them. It's really up to them. It's really up to them. And I think the mushal was of a smuggler. Oh, that was the case. I remember now the story. It was a little vignette of the Berditcheva Rebbe. He stopped a Jew on the street and said, asked him where he can get smuggled goods. And unfortunately the Jew knew, and he directed him to a friend of his. And then he said, something like, and where can I get, treif meat, basa b'cholov? And he said, chas v'sholom, what kind of person do you think I am? So the Berditcheva turned to his friend and said, see, the Tsar is still alive, and yet his decrees are routinely ignored. Moshe Rabbeinu is gone thousands of years. When it comes to Taras Moshe, Jews live with a sense of what's right and wrong. It had to be because he was a unique individual. He was given this ability of an exceptional form of prophecy to be the vehicle for Matan Torah and to let us know that there are such people that existed. If we can't be on that level, nonetheless, the fact that we know it existed and aspire to it, that itself makes us better people as well. Next week, in fact, the remaining Yesodos, I think the ones that we can relate to much more, they start entering our world about the Torah and about Schar Va'onesh and Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim and all the things that Jews like to think of. So next week we'll discuss the eighth Yesod of Torah Men HaShemayim. To all of you, Ramazinim, I thank you very much.